As we come to worship, the best position for all of those things that chirp and beep is off. The next best position is silence. So if you could silence all of the things that distract you and prepare for worship as we listen to the prelude. Morning again. Welcome to First Christian. The attendance seats, sheets, not seats, the attendance seats are filled with you. The sheets are at the end on the aisle. If you could fill them out and pass them sideways and then back so you know the people who are around you, that would be awesome. Thank you to those who have given us beautiful flowers today. The lectern flowers are from Melissa Heck's wedding yesterday, and the chancel flowers are a thank you from the region for hosting the fall feast, although I feel like we should be sending them flowers instead. Maybe we could do that. If you'll look on the buff sheet, last time we had goldenrod, now we have buff, for the announcements this week. CWF will be meeting on the 25th and installing new officers. Preschool pictures are going to be Wednesday and Thursday. Where that involves you is that you can also come and get pictures taken as our church family, and you get a discounted rate for those. All Saints Day is November 4th, and the deadline for getting information to Kathy for presentation of that is the 24th. There's a diaconate meeting after both services on the 11th. So if you are one of the deacons, please meet, be aware of that. And it's time to get signed up for the all-church Thanksgiving dinner, which will be held on November 18th. So that's coming up as well. Mike has an announcement.
Actually, I got a couple. First, I'd like to say thank you for the card shower last week. It was quite humbling to get the number of cards, and it was greatly appreciated. As for the surgery that I had on Monday, both of them went very well. I'm getting along a lot better than I was a month ago. So I feel good about that. But the main reason I'm up here is because of the pumpkin patch. The pumpkin patch went wild the last 3 days. Our total sales so far are $8,471. In the past 3 days, we have sold over $4,000 worth of pumpkins. Yesterday, the total sales were $3,056. The two prior days, Friday and Thursday, were over $500 each day. As yesterday, we sold $78 worth of baked goods and got $39 worth of donations. So we're behind where we normally are, but that's because of the weather we had a week or so ago. But we still have a chance, if the weather stays nice, to make that up and come out at our goal, which is $20,000 in sales. Another interesting thing, the Child Development Center called me, and they're having a scavenger hunt. And on the 26th of October at 6:30, 7 o'clock, they want their scavenger people to stop at our patch, purchase a pumpkin, and carve it here before they can leave to the next station. And they have bought 30 pumpkins. So That's pretty awesome. And story time is going well. First half of the month, we did not have any story time. None of the preschools wanted to come that early in the month. Of course, the weather wasn't exactly conducive to sitting around and listening to stories. But as of last Friday was our first one. Joan, you did an awesome job. Heard through the grapevine. She did it on Friday twice, and she and Peg Jackson are going to do it on Monday. And then she's got another couple days that she's signed up for. And we have several, we're almost full from Monday all the way through Halloween. So if you have said you would be a story time teller, I will be getting in touch with you in the next few days to fill in who's going to do it all, do it on which day. So, but the people that have called about the story time have all been very anxious to be part of our pumpkin patch. And that's it for the pumpkin patch news for this Sunday.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for all of our volunteers that make this such an important part of our community. Did we have any other announcements? Yes. With that being said, please stand, greet those around you with the hand of God's peace, and then we will return to our worship or continue with our worship with hymn number 6. would join us in the call to worship. Good morning, God. Thank you for making everything.
Every blade of grass, every ant and atom, every peach and plum and pear. You make every pumpkin in the patch.
You made the mountains and valleys and rivers and plains.
The starry sky and starfish, people and horses and porcupines are all part of your plan.
We come to worship, filled with wonder at your weaving of creation.
We come to worship, praising you, ready to be woven anew.
Let us pray. Holy Creator, we stand in awe of your creation. What mind could conceive the first flower, the first sunset? What heart could create the majesty of the stag? What master of irony could create the adorable softness of a kitten and put razor blades in his feet? We are awed again that the God who wove our natural world with the threads of the hummingbird and the leopard and the platypus also wove us into his creation. Be with us, O Creator. Teach us to be bright thread on a world created anew, as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the glory forever. Amen.
May be seated. Please turn in your hymnal to page 638. We'll sing together, In the Bulb There Is a Flower, first and last verses. The children to come forward for a time of sharing. We have a special guest who's going to join us for children's time today. Blake's grandpa Mike is going to talk to us about kilts.
Hi,
Good morning. How are all of you? Good day today? Thumbs up? All right. Does anybody know what a kilt is? Let's hear what you have to say.
So in Scotland, guys wear them.
Okay. That's a good start. That's a good start. This is a kilt. It is not a skirt. It is a kilt. Women wear skirts. They're long. Men wear kilts. They're short. There's 8 yards of wool here. They're heavy. But you're pretty free in wearing one, you know? Don't ask a Scotsman what he wears under his kilt. You might be embarrassed. Talking about weaves, you'll see this is got orange and blue, dark blue, white, black. Each family or clan, people that have the same last name, have a tartan. That's what they weave. This tartan that I'm wearing right here happens to be ancient MacDonald. My great-great-grandfather was a MacDonald. So supposedly you're supposed to wear the one that your family has, but not every family has one. If you're not from Scotland or ancestors are not from Scotland, you probably don't have one. But you can pick one out. There's thousands of them. Find one you like and have a kilt made. I know a young man that was in my son's wedding. He was not of Scottish or Irish descent. And he didn't have a family one. But while he was in the military, he went to Scotland and he found one a tartan that he liked. So he had a kilt made in that. As you will see over here, I'm assuming this is McBride. Is that right? No?
Mystery.
Okay. I probably own more kilts than an actual Scotsman that lives in Scotland. I have 3 of them. You'll notice this is different. It's different colors. It's got red, greens,
it's green and blue.
A little bit of blue, some gold. This tartan is the MacDonald of Glencoe. That is the actual tartan that was my great-grandfather's. I learned that after I bought this one. So I'm actually can wear either or, but that one is the one that is the family tartan. Now this tartan or kilt is got lots of greens, some red, gold. Sometimes there's more brown in it. This is the Kennedy tartan. And I can wear this one because my grandmother was a Kennedy. So they come in all colors, all sizes. I'm going to set this down and show you. That starts out, there's about 7 yards of material here on this one. And you can see that there's a lot of pleats and everything. Another reason I don't wear these two is because when I went to Scotland and had them made, I was much bigger than I am now. And these are so much too big that they won't even hang on my hips. They
basically just slide right up. And I'm looking for a good kilt maker to modify them.
Anyhow, each family has their own, and they weave their own colors. And that's part of doing your weave. You have any questions? No?
Does anyone have questions for Mr. Ward? I have a question. You have a little sword pinned to your kilt. Tell us about that.
Well, each family has a crest. And this happens to be the McDonald crest. And kilts, you put a pin in here so when the wind blows, it doesn't blow your kilt open. And in Wyoming, you probably should have a couple of them, you know. But they can be very plain, just a big safety pin, or they can be fancy. Some of them have jewels on the top. Some are much longer. But it's just to pin this part of the kilt to the underside so it doesn't flap around.
Does anyone else have a question? Thank you so much for telling us about tartans and kilts.
You're quite welcome. Thank
you. We'll have a prayer together, and then our children can go to worship and wonder in Sunday school. Thank you, God, for the gift of families and heritage. Thank you for Mike's family and their heritage from Scotland. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon every clan in the human family. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for coming today. As our children head out for worship and wonder and Sunday school, I'd like to draw your attention to the prayer list on the back of the bulletin. Our card shower today is for Tricia Nichols, who had knee surgery this week. The surgery went well. She went home yesterday. It will be a 6-week recovery time, so prayers of healing for her. We rejoice that Mike is doing so well after his surgery and continue to pray for patience and recovery for him. We've already heard that the flowers at the front of the sanctuary were in celebration of Melissa Heck's wedding to Sterling Ingram. They were married here yesterday. Congratulations also go to Greta Maxfield, Joe Cox's daughter. She married Scott Pfeiffer yesterday. Congratulations to Greta and Scott, and Melissa and Sterling. We continue to pray for family and friends of Billy Triplett. Since the bulletin went to press, we've had an update. There will be a service of celebration for Billy's life. It will be held next Saturday here in the congregation in the sanctuary at 6 p.m. next Saturday evening. If you knew Billy, we encourage you to come and celebrate his life at that time. We continue to pray for Amber French, for Kathy Malloy's sister, Caroline. She was discharged from the hospital on Tuesday and readmitted 6 hours later. She continues to struggle with severe pneumonia and heart concerns. Prayers of sympathy also to the Malloy family. Their cousin, Marguerite Gallagher Stone, passed away this week, an unexpected death. Prayers of comfort for them. Marguerite had been ill for a while, but her family still mourns her passing. Kathy Malloy will have her chest catheter replaced this week. Prayers that that procedure goes well. The missionary we're lifting in prayer today is Marilyn Cooper, who serves in Ecuador. And we continue to pray for those affected by Hurricane Michael and other storms and natural disasters. At the back of the sanctuary, there's a sheet of paper you're encouraged to sign and send greetings to our regional prayer partners. Today, that's the members of South Suburban Christian Church in the Denver area. It's a large disciple congregation in Littleton. With multi-staff, we pray for all of their pastoral staff. Are there other concerns or joys today that we want to lift up? Charles.
I have a joy. I have a friend, Nick, who is visiting us today. And for those who saw a funny thing happen on the way to the farm, you might recognize him. We were in the play together, so glad that he's here today.
Welcome, Nick. And, you know, with Mike wearing a kilt, you could have worn a toga. You'd fit right in. We have several guests this morning, and we hope that everyone will have a chance to greet them after worship today. Are there other joys we want to share this morning or concerns?
Thanks to Arlen for the music this morning. The prelude was the best sound ever come out of that organ.
Thank you, Arlen. We continue to be blessed to have Arlen and Donna alternating to bring us music during worship every Sunday. And we pray that if it is God's will, at some point we will find a permanent full-time accompanist. But in the meantime, we are in good hands and so thankful for your gifts. Prayers for Lori's friend, Don Larson, as she continues to go through cancer testing and possible treatment. Pam.
So I don't know if any of you are baseball fans, but I have a husband who's very much a baseball fan, and his team made it to the World Series, but he's going to be playing against my team, so... We are going to have some fun in our household for the next week or so. It's all for bragging rights.
We pray for mixed marriages.
We may need some pre-pastoral counseling.
It is a joy to be able to celebrate.
Yeah,
Jim.
It's not snowing outside.
It's not snowing outside. Praise the Lord. All of these joys and others that are in our hearts we bring to God. I invite you now to pray in a time of silence. O God of all creation, we give thanks for the gift of this beautiful day, for glorious weather in the fall, for bright sunshine, for cool nights, for the change of seasons and your presence with us always. We give thanks, Lord, for the ways in which nature speaks to us of your mysterious glory and creative hand. Holy and almighty, gracious God, we lift to you prayers for each one we have named today. We pray for healing for Tricia and Mike, for Amber and Caroline and Kathy. We pray for Dewey's Aunt Darlene, who's at Elkhorn doing rehab for a broken hip. For Carol Sage, who is struggling with reaction to an injection. We pray for Don Larson and for others who nervously await news from oncologists for cancer testing and treatment. Lord, we pray for your healing hand to be on all those who suffer. God, we bring you prayers asking for comfort for families who grieve. For Marguerite. For Billy. For those who have loved and lost loved ones. Oh Lord, we ask for your comforting presence and your abiding peace. We give thanks, O God, for the gift of joy, for the joy of music shared by Arlen and Donna and others with our congregation. And we rejoice with two couples who were married yesterday. Lord, may your blessing be upon Greta and Scott, Melissa and Sterling. Make their marriages strong reflections of your love. We pray for all who are married, that they would listen with patience and support their spouse, that they would care for one another. Lord, we pray for families that we might be stronger together. We pray for every clan, for every family upon the face of the earth. With laughter and light hearts, we rejoice with Keith and Pam as they each cheer for a team in the World Series. And we pray for those families who are on opposite sides of more significant issues and have forgotten how to talk to one another. God, we pray for families of nations who are so often divided and interact at cross purposes. God of peace, we pray for your presence in our world, for wisdom and justice. Lord, we ask your blessing upon Marilyn Cooper and the work she does as a missionary in Ecuador. We pray for all of the staff and members at South Suburban Christian Church and ask you to continue to multiply their ministry. Lord, we pray for those recovering from hurricanes and storms. We pray for people who watched roofs be blown off their houses, homes and communities torn asunder, floodwaters rising. Oh God, we pray for courage for communities and individuals who now face the task of rebuilding. Oh God, in every season, you are with us. In times of disaster and times of ease, in times of scarcity and times of plenty, Lord, you watch over your children. We thank you, Holy One, for your abiding presence. And as you call us to be stewards of creation, we pray for generous hearts, that we might continue to be moved to share with others the bounty that you have given us. When we have bread, may we break it with the hungry. And when we have your life-giving good news, may our hearts be made eager to share your word with others. We ask all this in the name of Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
We miss our friend Wanda. If we ever needed an example of a woman who could take threads of every possible color and weave them into a breathtaking tapestry, we could ask no better. We miss our friend Billy. We miss his voice that was as much a paintbrush as Wanda's needle. Both of them used their talents to weave communities as well as art. It is the underlying fabric of Christian service. The communion table is a place God weaves us into community. Christ sacrificed everything to bring us here. He promises that we are his people, the colors of his tapestry, and the notes of his symphony. Come to the table and be created anew. If you would join us in hymn 416, verses 1 through 3.
All who gather in this place, who believe in Christ, are welcome to share in this feast. All who come here this day looking for God's love are invited to find it in the bread and the cup as the trays are passed and we serve one another. When we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Most gracious God, on this beautiful, beautiful fall morning, we give thanks for the privilege of being invited to come to this, your table, with friends and family to partake of these emblems, fresh bread and wine, symbolic of the sacrificial death you made on our behalf. For this great love, we are deeply moved and eternally grateful. Our prayer is that our lives may increasingly reflect Christ's compassion for others in all we say and do. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you.
We come to the Lord in singing. We come to the Lord in prayer. We come to the Lord in joy and sorrow. We come to the Lord in loneliness and community. Our God is big enough to handle all we are. We also come to the Lord in giving, because it is an appropriate response, and quite frankly, because the bills still need to be paid. Give of your time, your talent, and your treasures. The diaconate will wait on us. Pray with me. Christ our Lord, you tell us that in you we are a new creation. Use our gifts to create a world that is an act of worship. Amen.
Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. He wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. He just wanted to see how a chariot feels.
Swing down.
Ezekiel went down and he got on board. The chariot went a-bumpin' on down the road. Zeke wasn't so particular about the bump in the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. But don't you swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. I've got a home on the other side. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Sweet chariot.
Well, I got a father in the promised land. Ain't no more stop until I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. I've got a home on the other side.
Oh, swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. I've got a home on the
If you would take out the Chalice Hymnal and turn to the back, our scripture reading this morning will be a responsive sharing of Psalm 104, the first 13 verses. You'll notice that there is a sung refrain. Arlen will play that through once, and then we will sing it together. And we'll sing that every time that there is the bold letter R. Page 754 in the back of your hymnal, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken.
You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains.
At your rebuke, they flee.
At the sound of your thunder, they take flight.
They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills.
Giving drink to every wild animal, the wild
By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Arlen. Thank you, choir, for the gift of music we are receiving this day. Will you pray with me? O God of all creation, we are filled with wonder when we consider all that you have made. We are the work of your fingers, the fruit of your hands, and you have placed us in a glorious garden on this earth. We give thanks for all of creation and pray that we may steward it wisely. Bless now the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each of our hearts, the actions of our lives, that all these may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Both Psalm 103 and Psalm 104 begin with the phrase, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." They are tied together as psalms of praise. Psalm 103 focuses on God's love for humanity, the forgiveness of our sins, God's great gift to the people formed in his own image. Psalm 104 focuses on the glory of creation, describing in poetic terms all that God has made. Listen again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a woven garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds. You make fire and flame. You set the earth on its foundations. You cover it with the deep as with a woven garment. The psalmist describes for us the glory of creation and all that God has done. When we look at nature, when we spend time in nature, when we are present and connected with creation, we receive the blessing of spending time with the Creator. I know that there are some in our world who do not believe in God, who have a hard time just kind of wrapping their mind around the possibility that there is a holy one who made all that is. They want proof. It seems to me when we walk outside and we look at the wonder of a single leaf or a blade of grass, for those who will see, who will open their heart and their mind to the possibility, there is proof all around us. As the planets spin and the stars make their arcs across the sky, as we gaze upon the glory of heaven and marvel at the gift of a sunset or a sunrise, we see the work of God's hand. The psalmist praises God of creation and invites us to be in relationship with the one who has made all that is. You may have come to know God through your time in church, through studying scripture, reading the Bible on your own, or engaging in a class with other believers. You may have come to know God in the intimate relationship between two people, just sharing a cup of coffee or tea and talking about life. You gain a sense that there is more than meets the eye to this journey we call life. This existence of living. Perhaps it was in a time of tragedy when you experienced God's presence in your life, when you realized that there is strength that comes from beyond yourself to give you courage to face heartache Or perhaps it was in a moment of joy when you suddenly knew you are so blessed and you were moved to give thanks to God for that gift. Growing up in my family in southern New Mexico, I came to know God through worship every Sunday morning. My parents made sure that our family were in church every single week. But I also came to know God through the gift of creation and time spent in nature. My mom was the daughter of an Iowa farmer. He and his wife, my grandparents in Des Moines, had a huge garden. When we would visit every summer, there was wonderful food to eat, as well as weeds to be pulled. My dad's family came from Northern California, and he grew up spending time in the High Sierra Mountains. Grandpa Dobson, my dad's dad, wasn't a church-going man. He showed up in a church for weddings and funerals, and that was about it. But in his own rough way, he knew the presence of God through spending time in nature and creation. My parents grew on the lessons their parents had given them and passed on to their children a love of God experienced through creation. Many Sunday afternoons, after we'd been in worship in the morning and had a wonderful meal that Mom would have put in the oven before we ever went to church, many Sundays we would spend afternoons driving in the mountains in southern New Mexico. I can't count the number of times in my childhood years that I'd be lying on the living room floor, looking at the Sunday funnies, and maybe drifting off to have a nap in between reading the comics. And I would hear my mom come out from the kitchen, and she'd say, "Tommy, let's take the kids for a ride." They'd bundle us up in the car, and we would drive up to the Sacramento Mountains. In the summertime, we would go to the mountains to escape the heat and enjoy cooler air, spend time under pine tree. In the fall, we'd go for a drive looking for changing leaves and beautiful colors. We wouldn't go to the mountain as much in the winter, but sometimes we'd go just to see the snow. It wasn't every Sunday, but it was often enough. It was an integral part of my childhood that Sunday morning was church and Sunday afternoon was a drive in the mountains, time to just relax and visit as a family and look at what God had made. My mom earned the nickname Old Eagle Eyes. She had the ability to spot mule deer at a great distance. It soon became a family game to count how many deer we could find when we were driving around Cloudcroft or James Canyon in the Sacramento Mountains outside of Alamogordo. There was one time that my dad decided to take us on a longer route. We left the paved roads and traveled on dirt roads, gravel roads, higher and higher up into the mountains, following a far distant ridge. Dad intentionally chose to take us to an area called Lightning Lake. It's not too easy to get to. It's kind of a rugged drive, at least in a family car. But it was one of the few places in the 1970s and 80s where you could see elk in southern New Mexico. I think Dad was hoping to see elk that day as we drove around Lightning Lake. We came around a corner, and there ahead of us, it wasn't an elk, it was a mule deer, but one of the biggest bucks we had ever seen. Dad slowed the car and pulled off. He didn't want to spook the animal. It was just grazing, raised its head and looked at us majestically. I realized that my dad was looking out the left side of the front of the car. And I said, "Dad, Daddy," my little voice from the back seat cried, "look at the big one." And he said, "I'm looking." And I said, "No, look at the really big one." And I pointed out the right side of the car. My dad turned his head and saw a 20-point buck mule deer. It had a rack so huge that at first glance it looked like an elk, but it was a deer. We all sat in stunned silence and wonder. My dad mused aloud how many years that old stag had been wandering those mountains, smart enough to avoid every hunter who ever dreamed of bagging it. In that moment, we were filled with wonder at the majesty of creation, the gift of God, the power and wonder of life. It was a moment that stuck in the collective memory of our family. So decades later, if I was home to visit, we'd talk about taking a drive in the mountains. My dad would look at me with a twinkle in his eye and say, "Daddy, look at the big one." And then he'd chuckle and say, "No, the really big one." And I would just laugh. Perhaps your family has shared a moment like that, a time when you encountered something so significant it planted a seed in your memory that grew for years to come. Maybe you spent time camping or hunting or fishing, boating out at Alcova Lake or walking along the North Platte River. Maybe you were taking a drive up on Casper Mountain or Money Mountain, and it was one of those days when nature just speaks to you the glory of God. A fall afternoon when the aspen leaves are turning, and a sight that you've seen many times before suddenly in that moment becomes mysteriously, miraculously perfect. The sun shines through the leaves and they turn gold, and it stirs something in your heart. You catch your breath. Your voice seems to leave. Have you had a moment like that? Maybe just sitting in your own backyard, an early morning cup of coffee or tea, and the sun is rising, and the sky is painted in every hue imaginable, and you find yourself giving thanks to God for the beauty of creation. The psalmist is moved to call us to offer thanks to the one who makes the world in which we live. And we are called to be stewards of the world, stewards who care for creation. In a few weeks, we'll be having our annual fall stewardship campaign for the congregation, when members of the church are encouraged to make a pledge or an estimate of giving of what they might be able to do in the coming year to financially support the ministries of the church here. But stewardship isn't just about money, giving back to God a portion of the material financial blessings that we have received. Stewardship is also about caring for the world in which we live, caring for the relationships that we have with one another. Stewardship means managing wisely our time and our talent, our abilities, using every day of our life to be an instrument for God, to bless someone else. We're called to be stewards of creation, and sometimes that means something very simple. Sometimes it means dealing with complex systems that we don't fully understand. Recently, we have been praying for those who face the devastation of Hurricane Michael. And other storms seem to continue to hit our world and devastate communities. Sometimes, as people who live in the world and appreciate the beauty of creation, we're tempted to think that God put it here just for us. And so we have the right to use it, to take advantage of it. We forget that we also have the responsibility to care for it. Sometimes if we end up being part of a family that's blessed to have the resources, we might choose to build a mountain cabin next to a stream. And because we love the sound of that stream, we put our cabin right on the banks of that river. And maybe even for a couple generations, we enjoy visiting that place and listening to the flow of the river, and we forget that because of the way creation is made, because of the laws of nature, if water flows down a mountain canyon, it has to keep going. And we might be tempted to forget that every few decades or every few generations, the rain is multiplied to the fact that that little stream floods and becomes a river strong enough and wide enough to wipe out the house that we've built. And in that moment, we're tempted to cry out to God and say, "How could you let this happen to me? God, where are you in the midst of my devastation?" Without realizing perhaps we had a role to play in where we choose to build. We think that the beautiful sand, the beaches along the coast were put there for us to enjoy. So we build a house right next to the ocean where we can watch the waves. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to do and appreciate the gift of creation and even give thanks to God for that blessing. But then when a hurricane comes and that house is destroyed, we're tempted to just rebuild it like it was, where it was before, not taking into account the fact that there'll probably be another hurricane, maybe not tomorrow or next year, but sometime. Being stewards of creation means being aware of the world that God has made and being humble enough to realize that our place in it comes with some responsibility, making wise choices about how we live. Back in the 1950s, scientists were smart enough to invent a wonderful modern miracle called plastic. It has a great advantageous advantage for many of us. We store our food in it. We even take fibers of it to weave into our clothes to make them last longer. We build houses and cars and furniture out of it, and it lasts a long time. And perhaps that's part of the problem. If you take a banana and you peel the banana and you throw that peel out on your compost heap, eventually it'll dry up and turn brown and sooner or later crumble and return to the earth. And if you live in Costa Rica, you can grow another banana tree out of it. If you live in the Midwest and you grow corn, you can pluck that corn, peel off the silk and the husk and even the stalk the corn grows on and return that to the earth. Eventually it'll nourish the soil so you can grow more corn or more soybeans. But not all of us live where the bananas grow or where the corn grows. And so sometimes we take that food that God has given us and we put it into containers that are made by man. Containers that last a little or perhaps a lot longer. We store our banana slices in a plastic container. We put our corn in a tin can. And then when we're done, we just throw it away because we're done with it. Perhaps not even thinking about where it goes and what's going to happen to it. Unlike the banana peel and the corn husk, it's not going to disintegrate as quickly to return to the earth. It's going to last a long time. That's part of my motivation because I see myself as a steward for creation. It's part of my motivation to harass my husband into helping me carry the recycling to the recycling bin every so often. When we have plastic containers, we look at the little number at the bottom and figure out, is it a one, is it a two? I learned this morning that there's a Whole Foods store in Colorado that actually recycles number five plastics. I'm thinking I might save all my number five plastics and give them to Jan and Dewey Smith because they drive down there so often. It might not be a gift they appreciate. Each one of us has to make our own decisions about what works in our household, what works for our family. My niece Kathy, she belongs to the next generation that's going to inherit some of the mess that my generation has left. Years ago, Kathy swore off plastic straws. If you take her to a drive-through restaurant and you buy her a soda, she refuses the straw and just takes the lid off to drink out of the cup and puts the lid back on. She says, "Aunt Cindy, I know that the lid's plastic, but the straw I can do without." She's got me to start thinking about, in the span of my lifetime, how many plastic straws have I used and thrown away? Some of them I rinse out and use again, but eventually they kind of split and don't really work so good anymore, and I toss them in the garbage. And I wonder, eventually, if any of those straws accidentally make their way out of the trash bag I put them in, out of the truck that hauls them to the landfill, out of the landfill on a windy day. I wonder if any of my straws have ever kind of blown into a stream that flows into a river that eventually flows into the ocean and becomes part of a mass of floating plastic that traps animals. As people, we are woven into the very fabric of creation that God has made. And we're called to be stewards for it. Each one of us has to decide what that means for us. Some people steward creation by growing their own food. It tastes better and is healthier than what you can get at the grocery store anyway. Some, like Cheryl Dion, our childcare worker, can their own food. This week, she brought jars of home canned pears to share with the quilting group. They were beautiful, and I'm sure taste so much better than Del Monte's in a tin can at the store forever. Each one of us has different gifts and different abilities and may be able to respond to God's call to care for creation in a different way. This fall, as we talk about stewardship, I invite you to think about how you are a steward in every aspect of your life. A steward for the world in which you live. A steward for your family. A steward for your finances, for your time, for your abilities. Every day of our life, we're called to be a steward for God and to remember that we are intimately woven into the fabric of creation by the master creator who pays attention to the detail of a single atom as well as the masterpiece of a majestic mountain. The psalmist speaks to us of the glory of God, saying of the Holy One, "You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills and give drink to every wild animal. By the streams, the birds of the air make their homes and sing among the branches that you have made. From your lofty abode, O God, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with fruit of your work." The psalmist goes on to talk about how God causes the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen humanity. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. The high mountains are placed for the wild goats. God, you have made the moon to mark the seasons, the sun to know its time. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens, and people go out to their work, to labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold, how mighty, how majestic are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. They all look to you to give them food in due season. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May God use us as stewards of creation to renew the face of the earth, to remember that we are woven together one with another by the master designer of all life itself, the Lord God, whose name is praised. Amen and amen. Our final hymn today is number 658, Restless Weaver. We'll sing the first and the last verses. If there is anyone here who's looking for a church home, we invite you to come forward and place your membership in this congregation, to join us by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. If there's anyone here who's never made a confession of faith in Christ, you're welcome to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
I would invite you to a time of fellowship downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's coffee and refreshments. I hope that our visitors will join us for a few minutes so others have a chance to greet you today. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, you call each one of us to be stewards of the time you have given us in this place, to make the world better than we received from those who have gone before. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in every aspect of our living. Bless us now with peace and love as we go forth to serve you joyously, proclaiming the name of Christ as our Savior in all that we say and do. Amen.
Before me, I can only imagine.